Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good evening, everyone. This is Tamara Cosley Robinson, your host for this evening's broadcast. And I am joined by Tiffany Vanderhorst and Erica Wiederlight, and we are going to be talking about the power of presence and taking the time to enjoy the journey. And so I'm real excited about tonight's broadcast. We're going to have a great time together, and we're hoping that you, our listening audience, will join us in this interesting and it's just an interesting conversation as well as a critical conversation. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and have my co-hosts introduce themselves to you, tell you a little bit about who they are and what they do. Okay, Tiffany, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, hi everyone. I'm Tiffany Vanderhorst, known as the Miracle Coach, your go-to girl for all things miracles. I'm a miracle mindset coach. I specialize in mindset transformation, and I support women in getting unstuck and gaining clarity and confidence that they need to create a life and coaching business they're excited to wake up to.
Wow, very good, very good. Thank you so much, Tiffany. Erica?
Yes, hello everyone. I am Erica Wiederlight. And my company is called We The Light, which is a little play on the last name. but my company is for the younger generation of New York City or city gals or just on-the-go modern girls to help them find their zen and their self-worth and their inner happiness and light while still having a really busy schedule. So working on the balance of both of that. So that is my company, We The Light.
Awesome. Thank you. That's pretty, that's awesome. I saw that. I'm like, I like that. It also helps to pronounce your name the right way too, right?
It really does because people have crazy ways of saying it. So it's very helpful. I've heard it all.
It certainly helps. Yes, I'm sure you have. And it helped me. So I was like, I think I can do that. I can do that. And my name is Tamara Cosley Robinson, and I'm a life and career transitions coach. And my mission in life in this space is to help women, professional women, 40 and over, who are very good at what they do. Matter of fact, make great money at what they do, but just not connected to what they do. Finding themselves in a place where it's no longer serving them, the role that they're in their life or the career that they've chosen. And they're really looking forward to making some kind of change, getting really connected to what's important. And so I help women find their voice. I help them to make courageous choices, to make bold career moves and changes in their lives. So more about me later on in the show. And so for you, our listening audience, if you would like to call into the broadcast at any time during this great conversation, the number is 347-637-1960. Again, the number is 347-637-1960. Okay, so we got all the niceties out of the way, and so we're ready to jump into this conversation. And so the power of presence, it's very, very interesting to me, and certainly as we were getting together to talk about what we're going to talk about, it wasn't really hard for us to come up with this topic, only because we've all been challenged at some point in our lives with really being present. And so I think being present, it's to some people it sounds like a little woo-woo, and it's like, well, you know, what is that really? And I'm certain that maybe we all look at that word presence maybe a little differently. So I think I'll start off, and Erica, I'll start with you. How do you define presence? What immediately comes to your mind?
Sure. I think being present, but just really being in the moment and enjoying what's happening. And it's crazy, the things that you experience. It's almost like a childlike feeling when you're actually really there to even enjoy your dinner or really listen to a song. It's so powerful and so beautiful to really, really be there and give your whole attention to the thing at hand.
Yeah.
That's my definition of presence.
Okay. And what about you, Tiffany?
Oh, gosh. Presence is so important to me. And I think for me, it's in so many different aspects of my life. Like, I want to be present with my children. Like, you know, especially being entrepreneurs, like, I know you ladies can probably relate to this, but it's just like we're in the habit of working a lot, like all the time. We don't really clock out and, you know, stop working sometimes, and we can work into the next, you know, day sometimes. Even, you know, I find myself up at 3 a.m. still doing work. And so I just want to learn to just enjoy the moment. Like when I have time with my kids, I like to just try to sit and enjoy that time. And when I have time to eat dinner, just to enjoy that time, and really just to take every single moment and enjoy it. Because, like, right now is really the only moment that we have for sure, right? Like, yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not here yet. So right now is really all there really truly is. And this is where we can really create what it is that we want to see in the future, or it's where we can, you know, overcome what we've experienced in the past and so on. So I just feel like the power of presence is so important.
Yeah. Two very powerful definitions, and certainly we're going to get deeper into some of those things as well, because it is very interesting. You know, me just recently transitioning out of a corporate job and a corporate career. It was definitely more than a job, and taking on being an entrepreneur right now. It is amazing all of the things I missed. All of the things that I missed. You know, I can look back at it now and like, oh my God, I spent 9 years commuting to New York and 10 and a half years commuting to Philadelphia. And what do I remember? There are moments, of course, that I remember, but you know, when you're so busy getting to where you're going, you're not necessarily paying attention to where you are, how you feel, how all of these things are making you feel. And so, you know, for me, presence means right here, right now. What am I thinking? How am I feeling? What's happening right now that I can see? Right. And so yesterday I was actually sitting on the front porch and I got a chance to just look at the flowers. There's the bush. I mean, it seems really silly, but those are all of the things that I missed. Those are all the things I never had a chance to really experience. And it becomes a blur. It just becomes just that's a bush, no big deal. As long as it's still there tomorrow, I'm not going to really worry about it. But, you know, one day it's a twig and the next day it's overgrown. And I miss that. You know?
Exactly. And honestly, it's so funny that you say that, because, like, even when I look at my kids, it's like that. Like, I'm like, yesterday she was, you know, just 3 and now she's 10. And, you know, the time really does fly. So it's so important to, like, really take the time to, you know, soak it in and really, like, enjoy the present, because it doesn't last forever. Like, every moment, you know, changes, and present is new all the time. It's, you know, every moment is new. And so it's so important to recognize that.
Yeah. So what do you, and you know, you guys can just hop in where you, my, and you know, we can just make this this is us girls talking. Of course, we're looking for other folks to join in the conversation as well. But, you know, how is it that we get stuck? Because there's, you know, present is right now. And then there's the past. And then it's really tough for some of us to get ourselves out of the past. You know, we're always looking in the rear view mirror. What is it about the past that we just can't let go?
I would say for me, in my experience, like the present or the past rather kind of gives you a, I don't know, like it kind of, maybe it makes you feel like you know what's going to happen, or it makes you feel like, oh, well, if that happens, then it's going to happen again. You know, I think we kind of take the past and we make it more than what it really is. Like what it is the past. You know, I've had so many things happen in my past, but there's been a lot of things that have completely turned around for me. So it doesn't mean that whatever happened then is definitely going to happen again. And I think sometimes that's how we get stuck. Like we develop like these patterns and these beliefs, and they keep us stuck and they keep us held back. They keep us in fear, you know, from stepping forward because we're just afraid of what happened before. And then even, you know, to take that a bit further, like even in the future, it kind of, we're afraid of what's to come. We're afraid of what could happen. And then, you know, we're just not really harnessing the power that's in the present right now. And, you know, like there's in the present right now, we have the ability to make the past different and, you know, to make the future different to come. And so, it's just a matter of really understanding that the present moment is so important, and you can't worry about what happened before or even really what's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. And I think you do get stuck in patterns, and sometimes they're conscious and sometimes they're unconscious. Like you have no idea you're doing what you're doing, right, until somebody calls you on it, or until you're honest with yourself to say, okay, just because, you know, so-and-so treated me this way doesn't mean that everyone who is like that individual will treat me this way. And then, you know, I think expectations then start to change about, you know, what you were looking at and were you really looking at it in the right way? And, you know, I think for me, and I don't know if it's just a human thing, that we will gravitate towards negative things that have happened in the past. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, just being aware that just because it happened, and yes, it could have been like a horrible situation, because there's a lot of people, everybody has a story. And so, you know, yes, things do happen, and we're all still standing though, right? And so, you know, to be grateful, and I think this is where, you know, for me, gratefulness, I've been really, I don't know, unexpectedly on my part, because I haven't been intentional about it, but very, very grateful about so many things. And it's like, well, I can't change it because it's already behind me. So why am I spending so much time looking back? You know, it's good to be here standing right now, right here, right now. But you know, all that to say that there are times where we will focus on those negative things that take place and, kind of get lost in it and relive it, you know, as if it's Groundhog Day, and, you know, just won't let it go. We just don't let it go.
Yeah. For me, I know where I'm going ahead, which is kind of funny that I'm saying this, but for me, my issue or what I kind of sim on is my future. I'm working on being present, but if I'm in the place of being the past or future, I'm in the future. And I think my mm-hmm. past that comes in is through my subconscious. So it's not like, oh, well, I'm really thinking about, you know, A, B, and C in the past. I think subconsciously it's, oh, well, that pattern in the past didn't get me to a good place, so I am going to repeat it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like Tiffany said before, as entrepreneurs and as women and as go-getters, it's so easy to, and I know I'm going ahead here, but it's so easy to be in the place of the future of, is my business going to do well? This, and this, you know? So being here, like right now, is, it's so powerful to have that.
Yeah.
I know, totally with that, Erica. Like for me too, like exactly what you were saying, for me, it's always like, you know, when I get so many clients, or when I make, you know, so much money. Like, it's always about when I get to the destination versus really just enjoying the journey. Like, I really skipped the entire month of May because I was just, like, so caught up in, oh, I got to do this, and I got to make this happen, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I was just, like, the Energizer Bunny, like constantly going nonstop. And I didn't really take the time to really see all of the amazing things that were happening and all of the amazing, you know, things that were coming into my life and people and, you know, so many different opportunities that I kind of just missed because I was so busy focusing on, you know, trying to get to that destination and not enjoying the journey.
Yeah, and I totally relate to that as well. I mean, I'm a planner by rote, and I'm always looking. You know, I have electronic calendars, I have paper calendars, and it's like, okay, what's going on in December? Like, I know every month, I know the day. It's a little scary that I know at least 2 months in advance, I know what days actually fall on. Because I have started that, oh, I have a trip that week. I have it this, that week. It's our anniversary. Like October right now is just like crazy. And people are like, why are you thinking about October? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Right. But it just is because I'm always planning forward. And right. And it does rob you of what's going on right now. Because I think the thing that, and this may be true for our listening audience, and you guys can tell me if it's true for you, but you don't get a chance. And I think Tiffany, you just said this, you don't get a chance to celebrate what's happening right now because everything becomes a checkbox. Oh, checked it, oh, didn't do that. Okay, but here, let me continue to look into the future without really just saying, what happened just right now? You know, this month in review, you know, those kinds of things.
And it's like, what would make us, you know, we make these proclamations, and I know I do it all the time, like exactly like Tiffany said, and you as well said, you know, oh, once I get the client, I'll be happy, or once I get this, I'll be happy. Great if you get that. But you have all these things now. Why do you think that you're going to be happy then if you're not even celebrating what you have now, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So true, too, because, you know, I was just like, I remember a few months ago when I was like, oh, when I get that first client, it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. And then, you know, as soon as I got the first client, I was like, oh, well, when I get the second client, you know, it's never ending, right? Like, it's never, you're never satisfied. Like, I mean, as soon as I got that first client, I was ready to get on number two. Like, I couldn't wait to get to the next one, and then the next one, you know, and it's a constant thing. Like, it's almost like we're never satisfied. We never just enjoy it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, when this happens, though, and I don't know what happens to you guys physically in your body and even mentally with your thought processes, I know that I'm not the best me that I can be when I'm worrying about the past and the future and not necessarily paying attention to what's happening to me in my body. And so, you know, there's so many things that come about. You know, and that become extra stressful because we put so much pressure on ourselves to do so many things. And so, you know, what kinds of ways does the stress of that, of not being present, you know, how have you seen it affect you or maybe clients that you work with?
I have that all the time. I don't know about Erica. I work with clients about that all the time because, and you know, it's what I love about coaching is that we're literally just kind of helping people through the same stuff that we've been through, right? Like most of our clients are just like us at some point in our lives. And so I'm always, you know, trying to help my clients through that, trying to help them to stay in the present moment. A big thing for me is gratitude. I try to live in a place of gratitude. Like I try to, you know, I used to keep a gratitude journal a few years ago. It was something that that I learned from Oprah, actually, and I started keeping a journal. And now I don't really have to because I literally will, you know, stop in the middle of what I'm doing or just driving down the road or whatever, you know, and just say thank you for, just, you know, be appreciative for stuff. And so a lot of times when my clients are struggling with, well, I just want to get to the next place or I just want to get that client or I just want to, you know, be here, I always try to remind them, like, you know, just really try to stay in a place of gratitude, really remember all the awesome things that you have right now to be grateful for. And when you find that, you know, or when, you know, the universe or when life sees or when God sees that you're being grateful for all the things that you already have, then, you know, more will come to you. And so that's usually what I share with my clients. when they're struggling in that area.
I like that. I like that. And, you know, that whole area around, what is it? The law of attraction, right? And so when you're grateful, there's more things that you can see to be grateful for, and the more that you will be given to be grateful for. You know, it's a, it's
like
a nice circle.
That says, like, what you appreciate. So I love that. Like, it's just, it's just really think about that. Like, when you appreciate things, it starts to, you know, accumulate more. Like, you start to have more things coming, and that's, you know, the power of gratitude is amazing. And being a mindset coach is something that, you know, I'm really, really big on, and it's something that I really try to have, you know, myself, I have to stay in that place. And then, you know, I try to help other people remember that place as well, because that's where it all, that's where all the power is. Gratitude's huge, game changer.
Right. Love it. Love it. Very nice.
I think there's also, I love gratitude. That's one of my favorite tools. But for me, watching clients, it's all, people almost have, and I know I do too, have a physical reaction with not being in the present. You know, people aren't breathing. I see people a lot, and even family members, they won't remember things. You'd be like, hello, I told you that 12 times. And it's because they were not, which is fine, but they weren't present, you know? And you're like, how is that not a thing? But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's disease, and people, you know, have Louise Hay says dis-ease. But it's true, you're not with your body saying, oh, you know what, my stomach is hurting, or, hey, I need to give attention to this right now. When you're not there, you could go down the road and discover these issues months later, you know? Mm-hmm. So the power of presence, even from a physical standpoint, is just so necessary for us to really tap into and say, oh, my, you know, I have this issue that I really need to give love and attention to, or, oh, this is, you know, this is what's happening. And when you're not, you know, I know, Tamara, you touched on this, but when you're not present, you're not giving your full attention to anything. So it's almost like, what's the point? You know, it's like a million Erica's running around, you know?
Right. Exactly. I remember when I hurt my foot. I don't know if I told you guys about this, but I hurt my foot on a trip. And, yeah, it was hurting. It'll be all right. It was swollen up, and it hurt. But I said, oh, it'll be okay. And, you know, swelling went down eventually. And I walked around with this pain in my foot for about a year, which is ridiculous to me. Because I never do that. I never do that. But I was so caught up in, you know, got to get to work, and I got to do what I'm doing, and blah, blah, blah. And then when I started seeing people in the office with those boots on their feet, either they had the big boot or the wooden shoe. Right. And my foot is still hurting. I said, so what did you do? And some people had like the plantar fasciitis, and some people actually broke their foot. And I'm just like, the more I listen to what was going on with their foot, I'm looking at my, and I'm feeling the throbbing pain in my foot. I'm like, I got to go to the doctor. Well, long story short, I had to end up wearing one of those black boots for 6 weeks. And it was my driving foot. It was the foot that I needed to, you know, drive. And I said, listen, look, I've got to get to New York. I commute. I'm independent. My husband can't take me to and from. Like, I got to go to work. And so I promised her that I would take the thing on and off. And I did. But I got to tell you, it forced me to slow down. Because you cannot walk fast with one of those boot things on. You cannot do it. And so I was annoying to many. It made me actually choose what I was going to put in my bag or not, because it's taken me, and I still walked. I didn't want to take the subway only because it was hard getting on and off the subway. I mean, it's hard getting on and off the subway when you have two good feet.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm moving slower and people are pushing me, they're shoving, you know, it's just not a good situation. So I said, I walk. But even on the street, it was just, but, you know, what I stopped doing was trying to walk faster in this boot. I actually slowed down, let people get upset, walk around me. I'm walking down the street and I'm like, how many times did I walk down the street and not notice you know, this or not notice that. Mm-hmm. And it really, really opened my eyes to what kind of rat race are you in? And why are you in such a hurry?
Yeah.
Why are you in such a hurry? And I mean, commuting in New York is like, there's no other place that as much as you know, I'm not going to say I've commuted in every city, but that is an extreme. Everything mm-hmm. goes fast and yeah. everybody is like on edge. And it really, honestly, it's not going to get there. It's the work is not going to get done faster because you're going to get there faster. It's just
right.
not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, it was a huge lesson for me.
Because I found like a lot of times when we don't, you know, take that time to like really slow down, we get forced, you know, like we actually end up having to slow down. Like people don't realize it, but like when you know, you're going, and then you like get the flu or you're going, and you know, you just start to feel bad. Just like Erica was saying, you have a pain that you don't know where it's coming from. Like all of those things sometimes are there just to slow you down, just to force you to stop and just take a moment to be present, you know? So I'm such a cool story to share. Like, thankfully, I haven't had any of those experiences. I'm usually really good about slowing down. Like I can go for a while, but then after a while, I'll start to say, okay, wait a minute, I need to take a break, or I just need a mental break, or, you know, whatever, because sometimes it is just too much. And I just know when I get to that point, you know, I start to recognize I'm short or I'm, you know, just being different, and I want to make sure that I take the time that I need. I love that, you know, when Tamara and I don't think Erica was on yet, but when we first got on before the show, we were talking about, Tamara was sharing with me that she took the day off, and I just think that's so awesome. Like, sometimes you just need to just take the day off, you know, and it's okay. Like, a lot of times we feel guilty as entrepreneurs in doing that, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary. So when I get that nudge, I usually take heed to it.
Yeah, it's big. It's absolutely, it's incredible, actually. And I think if everyone were to just sit back and take a look at the last day or two in their lives, just the immediate, you know, past, they could probably see where they were not necessarily connected. You know, I often see patterns in communication. And I think, Erica, you alluded to this earlier. When you say something to someone, they're like, what? It's like, well, you weren't even listening, right? It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, stop trying to think about, you know, a lot of times communication I find is that people have in their minds what they want to say, but they're not listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not responding.
They're basically waiting for their turn to speak.
Exactly, waiting for your turn to speak, and then we actually call it a conversation.
Yeah,
you know, that's the crazy part. We talked about it. We didn't talk about anything,
right?
You know? We weren't listening. I wasn't listening to you. I just wanted to be heard, and we agreed that we were both right. And you walk away.
Right.
And
yeah. I know I'm guilty of that. That's why I'm laughing, because I know I'm so guilty of that. Like, sometimes my husband was like, I told you that last week. And I'm like, no, you did not tell me that. You know, that, like, you probably did tell me that, you know? So I totally get that.
Yeah. It's like I'm too busy to listen or whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
Especially
with amazing. The cell phones and the, you know, the all these smartphones and stuff, and we're on Facebook, we're, you know, checking the emails, just we're always, you know, connected to technology now. So we really don't even take the time to listen to what the other person's saying. We're, you know, just typing or doing whatever, and we're not even paying attention a lot of the time.
Right,
or trying to multitask, right, or which is a myth. Multitasking is a myth. It's a myth that you cannot do more than one. And I think we used to pride ourselves in, I can do that. I can do this and that. It's like, you're doing something, but you're not doing this and that. Not really. Not fully.
Right. Not fully. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So here we are.
I was just going to say, I had to stop bringing my phone. Like, what I would do is when I, like, whenever I had my last client, like, let's say it's 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I will leave my phone in my office until I go to bed, because I was still working, you know, even when I got off, and then my kids would come and, you know, they'd be talking to me and I'm busy, you know, doing something, or my husband would be talking to me and I was busy doing something. And this is actually funny because my own coach caught on me about this, and she was just like, listen, you work in your office. You do not work in your bedroom. You do not work at the dining room table. You do not work in the living room when you're watching TV with your kids or your husband. Like, you know, and she really had to check me on it because I was just like, I just feel like I'm always working. And she said, well, that's because you are. Like, stop so much and take the time off. So when you get off, don't work unless you're in your office. So I really had to, you know, take heed to that. So I just stopped bringing my phone. Like, I'll have like 8 missed calls when I go to bed. I'm like, oh my gosh, this person called and, you know, this person texted. But, oh well, you know, I was being in the moment with my family, you know, and that's super important to me. It was something that I wanted to make sure my business didn't take over my family life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. 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 And I think when you have a job outside of the home, I'm not going to say it's not as tempting to do it, because I used to do that until I said, hold on, stop. You know, just because I don't have a family like everybody else doesn't mean that I need to come home and stare at an email or work on that project or duties. You know, nobody was telling me I had to do it, but I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no real need to do it. So you have to, it's really almost about how are you going to regulate yourself? And not do get into those habits that don't serve you, you
right.
know?
Right.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, here we are, it's 30 minutes after the hour. And so I'm going to do a little plug for our sponsor. But prior to going into the next half of our broadcast this evening, ladies, I'd like for you to put your thinking caps on a little bit, because what I want to do coming out of the sponsor announcement is to talk about, you know, ways to, you know, small things, big things, medium-sized things. What are some of the practices? We started touching on them a little bit. What are some of the practices that we can do to stay present? What are the general things, what are the specific things that we can do to help us to stay present? All right. So for our listening audience, I just wanted to share with you a little bit about our sponsor. So this broadcast this evening is being sponsored by Audible.com. And Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. There's more than 150,000, that's a big number, 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And so if you are interested, you can sign up at our URL, and it is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And when you do, you get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of the service. So again, if you want to give audible.com a shot, you know, it's awesome to be able to read words where we have the ability to put our eyes on a Kindle or a piece of paper to take in information, but It is an awesome experience to be able to have the book read to you. And you know, it's just a different way of taking it in. So the trial is out there. It's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. You get one free audio book and a 1 month trial of the service.
Awesome.
All right. So ways that we can stay in the present, you know, and there's plenty of ways. I think whether we do them or not is one thing, but I think that we do innately know what kinds of things that we can do to really just stay in the moment with ourselves and with our families and in the work that we're doing currently. Erica, you want to start us off with one
yeah.
or two things that you know you've been able to do or that you've seen that's worked?
Sure. I, like I said about my experience, I'm a future tripper. So to slow myself down, I like to, and use whatever word works for you, but I like to say prayers or intentions, I could call them, before something. Mm-hmm. So if I'm like going, I'm like, whoa, I need to slow down. So I will make it special. Like I will intend to send this email with love, or I will thank, like Tiffany said, with gratitude for this meal, you know, thank having such a fulfilling meal with nutrition, et cetera. So really thanking what I have, but almost like meditating, like for 2 seconds, but on what's happening, and addressing it and doing it from a place of love and service, opposed to just doing it and getting off the list. That's a big one for me. And for me, saying no is really big because I say yes to everything and I'm working on it. But saying no is so important to me so I can make space for myself. And then in that, I could be present for what I really need to do. So saying no and the prayers and intentions really get me into that place. And also with the prayers and intentions, sometimes I, even if I'm at work, I run into the bathroom and just I'm like, okay, I need to breathe. I need to get here right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12:30, mm-hmm. Thank you for a wonderful day. You know, this and this happened. Thank you, I'm here now. And for the rest of the afternoon, I intend to do my work with love and service and be present in the moment. So I always try to come back to the intention of being present. And of course, I have to remind myself a million times a day, but just getting back to, oh yeah, let me be present. Oh, thank you so much for this. You know, so just daily reminders of that is helpful.
I'm over here taking notes, girl.
I love
that, like setting the intention. I mean, and that's so powerful, like setting the intention for everything, you know, but like setting the intention to be, you know, more mindful and be more present, like that's really the beginning. I love that she shared that because I hadn't even really thought of that. Like I'm over here taking notes, typing up what she's saying.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you're not alone, Tiffany. I was like, when she said that, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing about it is that when you do something with the intention of love and service, it stops being, I'm doing it because I have to.
Exactly.
It stops being, I'm doing it because this person's getting on my last damn nerve. And, you know, you have like a little sister girl in you that's coming out and it's like, I just want to get it done. It's when it's when the intention is filled with something that is meaningful, you know, you're delighted to do it. Even how you do it changes.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. And saying no, good Lord. I mean, we can talk about that all day.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yes, honestly, that's not a bad one for me. Like, I really, sometimes, it depends on the person, I guess. But in most cases, I'm really good about saying no because I really had to learn in the last few years that, to put me first. I guess that was a lesson, you know, that I learned. It took me a little while to get there, about 30 years or so. Once I got there, I learned, you know, it is important for me to learn to just say no. I think Erica's a little younger. You're in your 20s, I think. But when I was in my 20s, I was very much like that, just always being like, yes, you know, to everything. And I just had to say, like, once I turned 30, I know it's so funny because the three of us have a show coming up in July talking about this, you know, the differences in the decades, ages and stuff. But, like, I really, at 30, like, once I turned 30, I was just like, no, it's about me now. Like, I'm putting me first, you know?
Yeah,
what's hard to make the transition for me?
Yeah, and we have that show coming up soon. Yes,
oh,
I was able to pull it all together. It's going to be fabulous. But I think for me, it's something that I continue to work on. My first instinct is to say yes, and I've learned to, and this may be a tip for being present, is to hesitate. Just hesitate, you know, just breathe.
That's so true.
You know, and to give myself a chance to look at the calendar that's already jam-packed and you know you can't fit another thing in there. You know you can't fit another thing in there.
Right.
It's like, okay, Tamara. And so one of the things in the last couple of weeks is being intentional about, you know, putting myself first. And I'm like, this is pretty good. You know, what have I been missing?
That's awesome.
But it is a daily walk, right? Because it's not a habit as of yet. It's something that I have to remind myself of. But you know, just hesitating long enough to breathe and say, okay, and give yourself some time to think, not to think of an excuse, but just to think, you know, what is this opportunity? Some opportunities are great opportunities and they're worth the extra time. But every opportunity can't be that golden opportunity. So you have to just pretty much be wise about and smart about how you do that. So that's one that I do. I just pause.
Yeah, I love that one too.
Yeah, that's
beautiful. Yeah, I love that one too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think going back to what you said earlier, Tamara, about like just taking the time to do one thing at a time. Like we're always trying to do 18 things, you know, in one moment. Like there's not going to be another moment, you know. Like I know, like I bring, you know, lunch to my office. So I'll bring this or bring that because I'm like, I don't want to have to go back downstairs. I don't want to have to, you know, do this or do that once I start working. Like, you know, it's going somewhere. It's really just a matter of taking the time to just do one thing at a time, you know. And the only thing I really can honestly say that I do that with is when I'm with my clients. Like, you know, I really do. Like, when I'm on a call with them, I shut down Facebook, I shut down everything, and I make sure that, you know, they have my full and undivided attention. But honestly, in most other places in my life, I'm really bad about it. Like, I really am doing 18 things at a time. So just that, you know, taking the time to just focus on one thing, you know, I think that's powerful as well.
Right. And it's amazing how quickly you can get that one thing done because that's the one thing you were doing.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I know it sounds crazy, but it's just true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for our listening audience, again, if you want to call in and have a comment, ask a question, we will absolutely love to have you do that. The number again is 347-637-1960. Again, the number is 347-637-1960. Okay. Any other tips out there around how to stay present? How do we stay in the here and now? I have one that I did actually today, and it took, I don't know why I hadn't done this sooner. So on my iPhone, I've been doing really well with going to the gym in the morning. And when I'm at the gym and I'm in the, you know, I got music in my ears, the notification for email buzzes and it interrupts my music. Right. And then it's like, you hear it and you know, something's coming in. I'm at the gym. It's not like I can really do anything with this email.
But the
knee jerk reaction is look at it.
Check it. Yep.
So today I said, you know what? No more of that. I want to have some uninterrupted time while I'm at the gym. I know what I need to do. I need to turn off these notifications. Yeah. And so I turned off the notification of email on my phone. What an enjoyable experience. Love it. And so now I have to figure out where in my Gmail settings. I can cut off the notification of the little window that pops up every time I get an email. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know that every 5 seconds.
Right.
Because I have nine emails, right? But that's the thing. I don't want to buzz. I don't want to buzz when I get an email. I don't want to see it flash up because it's just one other distraction for me. Mm-hmm. And I just found that I was just like, okay, I'm really focusing on doing email in the morning and email once, like right midday, just check and see if anything is burning. Most of the time it's not. And then, you know, I come back the next morning and get to whatever was responded to from the day before. But just taking and turning off the notifications was great. And I'm looking forward to more time to not be interrupted just because some junk mail is actually coming to my email, or other things that are coming. I can't get to it right now anyway.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And it wasn't hard.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And the emails are so not important most of the time. Like you said, it's usually some junk or something that we don't even need right away. And we're just letting it, you know, interrupt our day and stop us from, you know, exercising or doing whatever it is that we're doing to check it. Just because we hear that little buzz or, you know, that bing or whatever. And I'm really guilty of that with Facebook. That's exactly what I was saying when I get on the phone with a client. I just exit out because as soon as that little bang comes up and I'm in a different screen, I have to jump back to see, you know, what it is. And I just, you know, I had to learn to just totally just exit. If I'm trying to get something done, I just totally turn Facebook off. Like, I can't even bother with it.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's like a black hole. I mean, honestly...
Oh,
It's great for a lot of things, but
actually,
I have a friend of mine, and she actually used, and she may be listening. She and I, we're doing a lot of different things together from a business perspective, and we just like spending time with each other. She has an egg timer. She says, "All right, Tamara, I think we got like what 10 minutes." I say, "Yep." She says, "All right, on goes the egg timer." And it's like, okay, we're going to talk business. If we need to talk more, we need to schedule us some more time, but let's talk about business for this 10 minutes. And, you know, and I wasn't mad at her. I said, you know what? Shoot, I got to get me a timer in my office.
You got one on that iPhone,
you
know? I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. But I don't know. There's something about the old school one that you get to turn.
Yeah, that is true.
And you know, I don't have to fumble with it because I'll go looking at something else if I'm on that phone. I mean, we did live without a phone before.
Yeah, and it's almost impossible now, right?
Yeah, that's what we tell ourselves. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's what we tell ourselves. We're completely lost. Like, my sister went to work today and she didn't have her phone. I was like, "You're not completely lost?" She's like, "No." Wow. Well, it's not the end of the world. She's still breathing. It's not the end of the world.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think meditation is a really big one, too. Like, I know a lot of people make meditation, like, really deep, and they're just like, "Oh, I can't do it," or, you know, it's just so hard, or I'm always thinking, which, I mean, it's natural because, you know, our mind is always filled with thoughts. But even if you can meditate for, like, 5 minutes every day, that 5 minutes of being present and really taking the time to, like, slow your breathing, you know, quiet your thoughts, and just to, you know, be able to just sit there and be present, like, it's really huge. It makes a huge difference in your day. And that's another place where you can, like, just like Erica was saying, like, you can set that intention and, you know, be able to decide what you want to do that day, to be able to be more productive, to be able to do one thing at a time, you know, and it really works. It really helps. So meditation is another really big one that's helpful, too.
I like that.
Yeah. This is a bigger, that I love meditation. It's helped me tremendously in my life. This is a long-term goal, but I see this a lot for my clients. People sometimes, and I have the same thing and I still have it, sometimes they get scared of being in the present because it can be scary. What, you know, what if something bad comes up, or what if blah, 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 or what if blah, blah, blah. So I think a big goal for all of us and is to just really release, and like we said, release the past and release some negative feelings we have about fear and things that are holding us back. Because I think, and that's why so many people are on Instagram and Twitter, like, their eyes are just stuck, glued on the screen. You're like, "Hello, you're on the subway. Like, you really need to be, you know, like, what is that doing for you?" You know what I mean? Like, I think it's like people are sometimes, and I experienced this for years as well, but they're almost hiding not being present because they think it could be scary. So a big lesson is to really start to release, you know, some of the fear that we've learned over our lives. And that's, of course, a big goal. But, you know, slowly start to peel away the onion, the layer onion of fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing makes me crazier than a bunch of people together who are on a dang phone.
Yeah.
It's like, come on now. We're supposed to be together. We're not. You can't be together. It's like either it's going to be me or the phone. Which one is it going to be?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know,
I
haven't seen you in years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
as my kids are getting older, I see it a lot more because, you know, it's almost different when my husband and I do it because I'm like, well, it's different. We're adults or whatever. But, you know, now my oldest is 10 and, you know, she'll come in with a little iPad and, you know, she'll be in there with us, you know, sitting on the phone or on the iPad. And it's just like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, we're not talking. We're not, you know, spending time together. We're not communicating. We're not really doing anything but being not present, you know, basically. And so, like, yeah, I totally agree with that. And I notice that so much now that my children are getting older. Because I guess because I'm on the outside looking in when I see them doing it. Then I'm like, well, they need to stop doing that. Then, and then it's just, unless to me, like, I need to stop doing that, you know?
That's right. Yeah. It's funny. I was laughing. You know, we had some storms in the Northeast a couple of days ago. And I have a friend of mine who actually lost power. And I said, and my head was on the phone with my sister again. And I told her, you know, I never got the best sleep or actually had the best conversations when Superstorm Sandy hit. Mm-hmm. You know, we were without electricity for 7 days.
Yeah,
very humbling, very humbling experience, right? And so we had a generator, which is great, but you can't run it all night, all day and all night, whatever. But you are in a place where, you know, you have to deal with silence.
Yeah,
and you know, silence isn't a bad thing, and it also opened up a level of communication that we hadn't really taken advantage of in the past because the TV's been there or the computer's been there or just whatever. But, you know, the other part is that I had never gotten so much sleep. Mm. And so it's like, well, you know, when it's time to go to bed, put that stuff down, turn that TV off. And a way to be present is to give your body what it needs, you know, and our bodies need rest and our bodies need sleep. You know, it seems that when things are taken away is when we really get a chance to realize, you know, some of the things that we've lost along the way. And hopefully we can learn from it and do something a little bit different, even when, like, the electricity is restored.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if it's long enough, you can start a whole new pattern and then actually stick to it when it comes back on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's amazing. Yeah, I think you all can appreciate this, but when I was working full-time and started my business, the TV was almost non-existent. It's like, when do you look at it? Honestly, who's looking at that thing? You know, there was a couple of shows, of course, that I really wanted to see. And now that I discovered that you can actually look at the recording after it's played, like even a year ago, I'm like, okay, there's no burning need to watch it live. And, you know, and people are going to talk about it. I'm not listening to what they're saying, so I can just go and look at it on my own. But, you know, even the TV just becomes noise in the background. At least that's what it is for me.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily serving a purpose.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can still relate to that. And my husband and I, we DVR everything because, you know, 9 times out of 10, we don't watch it while it's playing. My husband gets up at 3 a.m. most of the time. So, you know, at night, I really try to take that time to have time with him. But sometimes, you know, we'll watch the show because that's kind of like our thing. Once the kids go to bed, we get to kind of watch TV. But a lot of times we're not even paying attention, you know. It's just, like you said, it's just noise in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a side note, but a story or something that I experienced this week, and it's cool that it happened right before the show is, I know we touched upon living in New York City, but getting off the subway and walking home to my apartment, it was after like a work day for the a 9-to-5 person work day. And it was around 6 p.m. and people were literally running. Oh, like I felt these people were running home to their apartments and they're on their phone and they're not. I'm like, guys, this is a beautiful neighborhood. Like, why should I be running too? And I was like, oh my gosh, I did that for so long. And it almost was like I'd run home to my apartment and put on my pajamas and then I'd finally breathe. and finally be present. And I'm like, wait, I don't want to live that life where it's only when I get to my house I'm present and I'm breathing. I'm like, I want to live that all the time. You know, like I don't have to escape to this place to finally be in it.
Right, right,
so,
right. Yeah.
Yeah,
that is funny. That brought back a memory. When I get off the train, there were people who were stepping off of the train onto the platform and running so that they're the first one in the garage so that they don't have to wait to get out of the parking garage. I mean, people running. I said, listen, I can't. It's been all day. I'm not running. I'm not running. Look, I'm not running. You have to run around me, do what you got to do, but I am not running. I think the thing that we often, well, what could happen when we don't stay in the present, that when we reach an older age, we wish that we had a, you know, there's probably tons of people like, oh my God, I spent, you know, X, Y, Z, this, that, and the other company. I wish I had gone to that college graduation. I wish that I had, you know, stopped to smell the roses. I wish, you know, there's all these things that, you know, when you get older that you wish that you had done differently. And those days are like history, right? You can't change it. And so, you know, I think about that sometimes. It's like, you know, when I'm older, there's going to be things I'm not going to be able to do. And, you know, what am I not taking a chance on doing right now? What are the things that I'm physically able to do and I'm not doing right now? You know, what are those things? And you know, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so with you on that.
Yeah, I so agree
there. Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, I definitely don't want to get old and realize that, you know, when I had all my health and, you know, I was young and I could, you know, run around and do a lot of things that I didn't take the time to do them. So I can so relate to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, it's been enlightening. I had my pen out and I'm taking notes. And it's been a great, great, great time, spending time with both of you. And it, you know, we're rounding up the hour. I can't believe it's gone so quickly. I know, it's just like, we just got on. I don't understand. And so, one of the things that I like to do is just to, have each of us do around Robin one more time, and share words of wisdom. Around this topic, you know, what is it that you would like for our listening audience to remember about being present? And also, if there's anything from a business perspective that you have as a something that's featured, something that's going on, or whatever, you know, to certainly go ahead and share that information as well as your website and contact information as well. So. Basically, words of wisdom, this last little takeaways for the audience, and anything that you would like to share about your business and what you have available. So, Tiffany, I'll start with you.
Okay. Yeah, I think the one with just doing one thing at a time, again, is so powerful for me. I think regardless of whether you're an entrepreneur, you work in corporate America, or you're a stay-at-home mom, or any of those, you know, however you work, it's just so important to take the time to be present, you know, and just stop and do that one thing at a time. If you're with your kids, then be with your kids. If you're working, you know, work and do it one thing at a time, you know, not just trying to do 15 things at once and just really taking that time to slow down. That's, you know, most important for me. I think that's what I took away from the call. And you can find me at my website. It's themiraclescoach.com, and also on Facebook, also themiraclescoach.com, and on Twitter at Coach Tiffany.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tiffany. Erica? Erica?
Oh, I was talking on mute that whole time. Oh, sorry about that.
It was profound. I know what you said. I agree. I agree.
Silent.
I'm in the moment, and none of this is out there.
If you had seen my face, I'm looking at the software, and I'm like, oh my God, did I mute her phone? Is she still here? Is she still on the line? We lost her.
I did that myself. So my last nugget of advice or insight to this whole thing is the wonderful quote that presence is our present, and really seeing how wonderful our life is in the present. Most of our worries and our troubles that we skim about will kind of disappear when we see how beautiful our life is and the absolutely amazing gifts we have and the abundance we have right now. So I think that the presence just offers us so much. So presence is our presence. And again, my company's name is We The Light. So you can get me at wethelight.org. The site's under construction, but you still can sign in and do a couple cool things. And feel free to email me at info@wethelight.org. So yes, thank you guys. It was awesome.
Thank you so much. I think you just got at me for a late April Fool's joke or something. I was like, oh my God, I lost it. I just don't even know what's going on. I guess my parting words, I usually have a quote that I have that's handy, and I just don't have one this evening. But, you know, of all the things that we talked about, you know, it's so important when we have people who are at our arm's length, and you know, really take advantage of the people who are in your space, and you know, turn those electronics off. They're going to be there. That email is going to be there. The game is going to be there. You know, all those things that we do to take ourselves away from what's really happening from a human perspective. And so, you know, of all the things, just me being able to silence those notifications for one day, I said, oh my God, I kind of like this. And yeah. It's just a reminder for me to take advantage of the other opportunities to not necessarily always be so connected to these things that are on our hips and in our hands all the time. So I want to thank my co-hosts, Tiffany and Erica. I had a great time with you guys this evening. For our listening audience, before I forget, my website is dare and the number 2, doitnow.com. I have a blog that I do twice a week. And if you go online, you can add your email to the list so that you don't have to necessarily go to my website every time. It'll come right to your mailbox. I also have a free download available called Navigating the Fog. And it's really about, you know, 5 steps to getting beyond your fears. And that is like one of the things that is so prevalent for what keeps us playing small and not necessarily doing all that we were placed on the planet to do. And so you're more than welcome to have a copy of my download, and when you do, you will get my monthly newsletter, which I do not post anywhere else, and it's definitely different from my blog post, so certainly join me in that. And so, again, thank you, ladies, for a great conversation about the power of presence and ways that we can be more present. I've learned a lot from you, and certainly looking forward to our next venture together. yay! In July, I'll give everyone a sneak preview. We're going to have 5 generations of women who will be on our call. We haven't named it as of yet, but it's going to be super, super, super exciting to just have to learn some lessons from each other at all different ages within a decade. And so I'm really, really, really not even a decade, it's like 5 decades. So I'm real excited about that. So thanks again to our listening audience for hanging in there with us. Have a great evening, and do everything you can to stay in the here and now. Enjoy the present. Have a good night.